Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 70. That's right, the one that comes after 69. For August 15th, 2014, I'm one of your hosts, Matthew McClatchy.
I'm one of your other hosts, Trevor Furlott.
And I'm the best host, Owen Flewelling.
Owen, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you this week, Matt?
You sound funny.
Do I? Sorry, I think I've got a cold.
Oh, that's it. You got a cold. That could be. There's no way that you're somebody else impersonating Owen.
No way.
No, I didn't think so.
I'm a true hardcore LARPer.
I'm suspicious of this whole thing.
Owen is going to be late. He may or may not be on later, and in his place for now is Brandon Henny? Was that how you pronounced it properly there?
Oh, Brandon Henny. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sounds a lot like Brendan Hennessy, but it's definitely Brandon Henny.
Definitely Brandon. There's no way it's Brendan Heaney, right?
Heaney. It's not Brendan.
Brianna. Yes, it's Brianna Heaney. Your new name is now Brianna. Sorry, Brendan. It's gone too far.
It has. I was happy with
Bam. We've never done that before.
You were happy with Bam. We've never gone too far before, Trevor. Never.
Never killed the Duke.
We never pushed the limits to the end. Beat the dead horse. But yes, Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You, of course, won this coveted spot. We had thousands upon thousands of people not know about the contest where you had to put up flyers from the show, and then whoever won the random draw won. And Brendan was unlucky enough to actually have his name drawn, so here he is. He's forced.
Unlucky.
Contracted, really. It's an obligation. You have to be here. You know that, right? You signed that paper, right?
I saw the fine print.
Yeah, I saw the fine print. Here I am. But anyway, Brendan's here. So welcome to the show, Brendan. And please, we apologize in advance for butchering your name, as we have already done and will continue to do so. And for, of course, bringing your IQ point down about 10% for every minute that you're on the show with us.
Wait, what?
Yeah, basically.
No, thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We've been talking to you a little bit
before
the show.
Did you go to university?
If you're going to interrupt, can you use a squirrel, please?
Yeah, Trevor.
Huh? Squirrel.
Ask your question again.
No, the moment's passed. It's over. It's a timing thing. You were talking about him losing IQ points. I was just going to say, like, if he did go to university, he probably lost his fourth and third year already.
Right. Yeah, they're gone. So the joke still worked, Trev.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad it still worked.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. All right. So as you can tell, Owen's not here, and so, of course, everything's gone off the rails already.
Because it would make a difference if he was here.
No, it wouldn't. I'm just trying to blame him because he's not here. We got to throw him under the bus. Man, where have you been?
But you just talked about a train going off the rails. So are we talking about a bus or a train?
Well, hold on here. There's going to be a truck in a second. Brendan, why don't you start us off with what you did with guns this week?
Certainly. This week, I actually did make it out to the range.
Where are you from, Brendan?
Right now, I live in Trail, British Columbia.
Okay, so out west.
Yeah, way out west.
Okay, cool. Okay, so you went to the range and Trail.
Correct.
All right.
And I got to play with my most amazing, beautiful, and I will say incredibly sexy 1911.
Oh, I thought you had like a Cooey 84.
Yes. Just threw up a little bit in my mouth.
did you want some cheese for that wine, Trevor?
No, I'm not complaining. Just stating a fact. Threw up a little bit in my mouth. Carry on.
Okay.
Probably a Norinco 1911 or something.
Yeah, but
it's a what?
Norinco?
Probably a Norinco 1911.
No, it's not. I sold that one. I want that one back, though.
Because that was the only one that worked right.
I never had a problem with it.
Exactly, because it's built to the GI standards or tolerance specifications. What do you have now, Brennan?
It's a Sam.
Oh, Sam.
That's the one that's made in Brazil or the Philippines or something. Isn't it?
I've got the Omega 6.
Right.
They were on sale on Wolverine last fall, and I happened to find the exact gun at a gun shop in Calgary when I was there for less money, and I'm like, oh my god, it was destiny. So it's in 40 Smith and Wesson. And
Trevor?
What?
Is that a 1911?
Nope.
Didn't think so.
1911's come in single stack 45 ACP.
It's a single stack 40 Smith & Wesson's mine. I do.
So
need
it's a 1911-ish
variant.
Variant. There you go. So in 40 cal. So how do you like that?
It's a little snappy.
Yeah.
But I need to dial down some loads.
Is it the government length barrel or the commander length?
It would be 5-inch.
Okay, so the full length, yeah.
Which is, that's the government, right?
Yep.
Commander is shorter. No, it's the full size, and I absolutely love it. But it's, apart from being a little snappy, so hand load some lead and dial it down just a hair. It'll be
down to quick. Manageable recoil, like a 9 mil.
Little more than that.
A little more than a 9 mil.
38 super.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps, you know, still manly enough. But
right. Yeah. You don't want to be unmanly.
Well, yeah.
I mean, obviously, 9 is vastly inferior than 45, or 40 for that matter. No? Yes.
Moving on. I heard someone say, in your gun collection, you always need to have a gun that has a 4 at the very beginning. So, my 40.
Like a 410?
There you go.
That was a joke, Matthew.
No. Now I'm seriously contemplating getting a 410.
Actually,
hey, wait, I have 222s. That adds up to 44, right? So that counts.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Brendan, we keep interrupting you.
I'm used to it. And I also got to play with my 44 lever, which is my favorite. My
lever.
Lever.
You got a 44 lever action?
Yeah, Marlin. All stainless. I refer to it as my bush gun, my bear gun.
What's the barrel length on that?
20.
Oh, a little long, but all right. That's cool.
Yeah, but it's all in together. I can hold 11 rounds in it.
Oh, it goes up to 11.
Yeah, 10 plus 1.
It counts as 11.
Man, all of our jokes are just falling on their face tonight.
That's cool. Keep going.
It's all about the single digits. So,
like
11 rounds in my 44, as well as I also played with my 1022.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What kind of, how's your 1022 set up?
I have the compact, which is
the 16 and a half inch barrel.
Yeah, and I have I wanted to put a bigger stock on it, but I'm so used to the small stock now. It's actually my little hunting, not quite a sniper rifle, but I take out gophers at 100 yards with it with my fixed 4-power scope.
Nice.
Yeah, it's all about ammo.
You
got to feed the right ammo through it.
What does yours like?
For the longest time, I used mini mags.
Right. Those are always a good go-to.
And then I discovered the best hunting round I've ever found, and it is the segmenting. Same velocity as the stingers.
Uh-huh.
But the bullet just explodes on contact.
Yes, it does.
I've done tests into a 4-liter milk jug.
Mm-hmm.
Mini mag went through, stinger went through, the segmenting did not go through.
They're great for pests. You don't want to use them for like food hunting because it basically blows up whatever you hit. Yeah, no, I've had a box of those and they are fun.
So every time I see them on the shelf somewhere, I pick up 5 or 6 boxes.
Yeah.
And I'm zeroed at about 70 yards with it.
Uh-huh.
So anything between 70 is done. And then out to 100, I crouch down and hold my hold and pretty much almost put it between the eyes of whatever.
Nice. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's nice. It's light. It's my favorite little hunting gun.
Now, these
Trevor. Shh, he's talking about 22s.
Don't ruin the moment.
I'm kidding. Go ahead, Trevor.
Are these gophers or are these like woodchucks?
The official term is Arctic ground squirrel.
Okay, so they're gophers, yeah.
They're a northern gopher. I've spent the past 10 years living in Whitehorse.
Oh, cool.
So last August I moved down to this area because my wife wanted to go back to school. So now that I've been down here, I'm in British Columbia. I have to now do my core and transfer everything over. So I actually haven't been out hunting in a year.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pain transferring, but you'd think that between provinces it should be pretty easy. One hunting course should be the same as the next.
I said before, it's a money grab, man. Yep. They just want you to take the course so they can get your money.
Yeah.
If you're over a certain age in the Yukon, you don't have to do it because they just assume that you're not an idiot and you know how to kill something.
Right. Same as in New Brunswick. If you were born before 82 and hunted in the past, and hunting in the past means you just tell them, I hunted in the past, you don't have to take it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anybody after 82 has to take it regardless.
Yep. Pretty silly, but anyway, is what it is, I guess.
No, it's pretty silly.
It is pretty silly, and it still is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it right. It's a pet peeve of mine. One province says you're okay with these regulations, but another province says you're not okay.
Yes.
How come this province trusts me to do one thing, but the other province somehow, you know, give me a break?
I agree.
It's like they don't do it with driver's licenses. My New Brunswick driver's license allows me to drive anywhere in this country.
That's right.
My hunting safety course should be treated with the same respect.
That's a good point. I like that.
That's an excellent point.
Because, yeah, we get provincial driver's licenses. It's not like they're federal licenses. It's not federal ID. It's provincial. So, why can't our hunting licenses be good across the country?
That's right. When I move to BC and need a BC driver's license, they won't require me to take a test.
No.
They'll just sell it to me.
Now, I do. See, here's probably the difference. And I know we're getting off on a little squirrel here, but whatever. Driving tests are probably standardized across the country, and hunting tests might not be. And so if that's the case, then they need to get their act together, standardize the hunting tests, and then that way the hunting licenses will be recognized across the country.
Mm. The driver's licenses probably should be, however...
They probably aren't.
No.
They're not.
Yeah.
But it would make sense. We have the same laws of the land. You have to drive on the same side of the road everywhere in this country.
Yeah.
Stop means stop. And the only place where they screw up with turning on reds is on Montreal Island.
That's right.
Again, Quebec with their special little rules.
No, Quebec.
Microclimate of stupidity. Anyway.
And that is not aimed at any of our Quebec listeners.
Nope.
And you can send hate mail if you want to anyway to Trevor at... I'm just kidding.
And I will send it back and call you a frog. No, I'm just kidding. No, I will send it to the Bloc Québécois.
We're getting the language police on our butts this week, aren't we?
Yeah, well, and today is Acadian Day, too. So
it is Acadian Day. That's right. Celebrate part of your country by kicking out a French person out of an English settlement.
You are a bigot.
Is that not how it works? Did I do that wrong all afternoon?
You did. Yeah. You're in, like, the epitome of... Anyway, you live in a French community, so...
I really do, and we're holding the Acadian Congress of the World or whatever, so, like, every Acadian in the world is here in Edmonton right now, and it is shut down, our downtown. You cannot go anywhere if you want to go through the center of Edmonton. You have to go around.
Nice.
So it's pretty irritating at times, but whatever.
Mm.
So, anyway, I think we have squirreled off good here. Brendan, anything else you did with guns this week?
That was pretty much it.
Apart from reading
a gun magazine and listening to the gun dudes.
Right. Yeah, neither of those count, unfortunately. So, we'll move on to Trevor. Wow.
Sorry, Carl.
Dan. Carl's my hero, but I do love Stan.
Stan's good.
It's tough to beat the old guy.
They're all lovable in their own way. I don't know about these new guys though, but whatever.
They're pretty funny.
Mark Housekeeper making fun of people's sticks challenge targets on the gun dudes. Faux pas, Mark. Podcasting faux pas. Making fun of the other guy's show. Awful. So I called them out and I challenged them to it.
Oh, yeah?
So let's see what he if he puts his money where his mouth is and shoots a better target than Brian, because Brian won the last one, I think. So.
Yes, he did, Duke.
Yeah.
Cool. So, anyway. What would you do, Trev, besides call out your fellow podcasters and make them do shooting challenges?
Happy time, AR goodness, man.
Yeah.
I kind of gave the handguns a rest, but I did shoot my true bore briefly, but it was all about the Mark 18 with the 22 conversion kit. I hadn't put it into that gun yet, so I want to see how it functioned. Functioned near flawlessly. There's one mag that's always worked great, and mm-hmm. another mag that was started was failure to feed,
right.
And where the bullet leaves the mag needed to be cleaned up a little bit, so I did. And I believe I only had two failures to feed. It was either one, but no more than two, that's for sure. So the gun, that mag is working a lot better. And just, oh man, I love that Mark 18.
Now, hold on. You keep saying Mark 18. And to our AR challenged listeners, what is a Mark 18?
Well, you and I looked this up mostly, and by you and I mean you. I was happy just asking the question, but you actually wanted an answer to the question. So anyway, a Mark 18 is a particular model of AR, and typically probably the dominant feature of a Mark 18 AR is a 10.3-inch length barrel.
So it's basically a short-barreled rifle, kind of AR-15 with a short-barreled rifle and then a couple other features or whatever.
It's interesting because I mistakenly thought that they were 10.5-inch barreled ARs.
And just because the one website that we went on said 10.3, you know, it doesn't mean that they're all 10.3. Maybe some are 10.5. I don't know. I'm obviously not an expert in Mark 18. So, you know what we should do is get Foley. Dave Foley, if you're listening, you should
Dave Foley?
Yeah, Dave Kratky and Tim Foley at the same time. Hello.
Dave Foley. Gotcha.
Dave Foley.
You really pulled that one out of your butt at the last minute.
I had to.
We should get the gun doc. We should get Joe Chetwood on.
Oh, that'd work too. We're probably not going to do either of those, but you know, it'd be cool if we did.
Canada Ammo has M16 style ARs on for $4.99 right now.
That is cheap.
Ooh. Dominion Arms, yeah. Nice. I was told something interesting that Dominion Arms, they're a Canadian based company. They send the blueprints to Norinco and have Norinco build them to their specifications.
Interesting. I wonder if that's true or not.
Well, everything Norinco makes is just perfect.
Yeah, we're not going to go there.
Shoot him.
Some things Norinco makes are just perfect.
Yeah.
And by just perfect, I mean they work really well. Mm. They're not perfect.
Mm-mm.
So.
But, So Mark 18 22 converter kit, and then played with some 5.56 through it as well afterwards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I tested that Tula ammo through my STI, and it does not... it does, and none of my ARs like that 62 grain stuff at 100 meters.
Right.
And all of my ARs have a 1 in 7 or 1 in 8 twist rate on the barrel. So I expected the heavier bullet to perform better, but that's not the case. And Owen has said it several times. His NEA loves 55 grain, and so does my NEA. What I did was I took all three ARs to the range yesterday in the rain.
Yes, good for you, because you got basically yelled at by Facebook.
Yes, you couldn't have said it better. So I took all three ARs to the range, went there with a buddy from the club, and the purpose was to see how my NEA and my Mark 18 grouped at 100 with my loophole scope on them. So I didn't worry too much about where they were hitting or just how they were grouping. And I heated up my NEA a while back and to the point where the barrel kind of turned blue.
Right.
So
that's a good sign, though. That's how you blew a gun, right?
That's
I'm pretty sure.
I wondered if I had dramatically affected the accuracy of the barrel, but not at all. I shot probably the best group out of that gun that I've ever shot with it. I put the loophole on, shot at 100, and I didn't measure it, but the pictures are on my Facebook if anybody wants to see them. It's written in blue marker, NEA, 55 grain.
Yep.
I shot the Tula, my hand loads, and the Nork stuff, and my hand loads, hands down, the group was half the size compared to my hand loads and the Nork stuff. And the Nork stuff's not bad, but I really didn't expect my hand loads to be as good as they were. They're... Hornady 55 grain soft point bullets that I get from Budget Shooter Supply out in BC.
That's your, just the exposed lead, right? That's correct. Not a ballistic tip. It's just exposed lead. Yep.
Correct. Yep. It's $5 more a thousand than a full metal jacket bullet. And
that's worth it to have a good hunting round.
Well, that's it, right? I could put them through the
I could
put them through my Thompson Center, but I was thinking more along the lines of the T97.
Well, that's true. The T97, yeah, they might shoot well out of that too.
But I have I loaded a bunch of VMAX with the ballistic tip,
right,
for my XCR. So I still have a couple of 300 of those kicking around. So anyway, I was impressed with the performance of that hand load. It's a simple recipe. It's 24 grains of H335 underneath that 55 grain bullet, and it performed. That'll be my match ammo, no question. I'll plink with the Nork stuff. I'll burn the Tula through my AR at the Thunderbird Tactical Clinic, and keep the my hand loads for matches, because it was really noticeable the difference in accuracy.
There's just something magic about 24 grains, isn't there? I mean, that's my when I did my hand loaded experiments with my 223, same thing. 24 was the best. Jason. I think Jason also uses 24 grains when his reloads.
Yep.
Like it just seems to be for 223. 24 just seems to be the magic number.
Yeah, well, Bolivar gave me that number, right? I'm like, I just want some plinking ammo for my ARs. He's like, just go with 24, dude. And, you know, if you want to play with it after that and see if you could tighten up, go for it. But really,
24 is the way to start.
Yeah, you'll be happy with 24. So,
yep. What powder are you using?
H335. Then I had a little coaching session with one of the guys in my club. He, I saw his belt one day at the range. I'm like, dude, your belt is a mess. And he's like, really? It was set up by so-and-so. And, well, so-and-so set it up, but he didn't. He just threw the stuff on the belt. He didn't set it up.
Yeah.
Right. So, first thing we did was set the position of the mags on the belt so that they were set up ergonomically. So he didn't have to break his wrist, depending on which mag he was going for.
Yep.
The first one's canted back, and then the last one's canted forward. And then we worked on some form and some technique. I taught him the draw that Tommy taught us, and explained how the two hands should move together. What he was doing is very common with new shooters. He would draw the gun, extend it to the target, and then bring his support hand to the gun.
That is common.
When you and I would be shooting, he was acquiring his grip. I'll explain how that's going to cost some time on the clock.
Yep.
And
can I squirrel a moment here?
Absolutely.
Yeah. When I heard you guys talking about that, I was trying to figure it out, because a couple years ago I've done some shooting with and against the RCMP at a range. Let's clarify that.
It was not at Young Street there.
7-Eleven.
Yeah.
it was a competition from gun club members versus the local RCMP. Why?
I said, oh my.
No, he said, oh my.
Yeah, they got spanked. But that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But I was taught where you draw, you come up to your chest, and then go straight out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Meet your hands together at your chest, and then go out. But you guys were talking last week about bringing your hands together and then coming straight up.
Yep.
Do you still come up to your chest and go straight out? Or?
No.
It's a straight line from your holster out to your extended, to your full grip.
The gun's coming up on an angle?
We were initially taught the way you were taught.
That's called the figure seven.
And there's a lot of people that still use it. A lot of people still swear by it.
Yeah.
What Tommy did to try and demonstrate how that can actually be unnatural and slow is that he had us, from pointing at the target, holster our firearm. When you holster your firearm, you don't pull it straight back into your chest, separate your hands, bring the gun down, and holster it. You pull it from the target into the holster. In the shortest distance, so you take the shortest path to the holster, and the shortest path to the holster will be the fastest path to the holster. So he's teaching people to pull the gun out of the holster the same way you reholster. It's
yeah, no, that's maybe, basically it.
Yeah, it's maybe not for everybody, but it certainly makes sense if you think about it from a shortest distance to get on target point of view, and what's natural. When you holster your firearm, you don't think about it. You just do it until you get to the point where you actually watch the muzzle go into the holster to make sure you don't sweep yourself. But other than that, your body just naturally pulls it in the shortest line possible back into the holster. So gotcha. Why not take it out that way?
No, I makes sense.
Yeah. No, a lot of people do the figure seven, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just this could be faster. That's all. So if it works for you, go for it. And if it doesn't, if you're more comfortable with the other one, stick with it. I mean, we're talking tenths of a second probably here. So
and I'm still trying to keep my draw under 30 seconds, but right. That's a whole different story.
One of the benefits of the figure seven draw is that it prevents porpoising either up or down. Some people draw their gun up too high and then bring it down. Some people kind of like swoop it up from below, and those are extra movements not needed. And so if you go to the figure seven where you bring it up to your chest and punch it straight out, you're punching straight out into your line of sight. You're not coming up into your line of sight. You're not coming down into your line of sight. So it's fast and effective. And again, you can get a shot off anywhere from your chest to full extension if need be. Right? Yep. So.
Yeah, there's definitely two ways of doing it. Well, no, it's more than that. But these are definitely just two ways of doing it. Neither of them is right. Yeah. They're both just two different ways of doing the same thing.
Yep. The thing is to learn both techniques and then see which one you're fastest at using a timer. Yep. So what else did we do? Okay, so I showed them that draw, and then we did the trigger reset drill. I took his CZ Shadow. I guess I've shot a Shadow before, but I never tried it in this drill. And I drew a circle with a marker and then shot a group from 7 yards that I could cover with a loony, and I did. I said, that's about a loony-sized group. And he said, an awful big loony. Oh, it's on, buddy. I pulled a loony out of my pocket and walked up to the target and covered the group with a loony.
Nice.
Yeah. Although there was one anticipation shot. And I'm kind of glad that it was there because I could then use it as an example. Okay. See this one shot low left? That was me anticipating the shot or perhaps putting 5 pounds into your 2.5 pound trigger pull because we shot it all single action, right?
Yep.
And I explained all the same things that Tommy explained about, using 12 pounds to fire a 5 pound trigger, et cetera. So I got him out and I got him doing it. What he was having difficulty with, again, we see the same thing in a lot of the students that took the Tommy class, was the reset drill is you pull the trigger, gun goes bang, and you hold the trigger in. You don't let it out. And then when you do let it out, you let it out slowly to the reset, confirm your sights, squeeze with just enough pressure to break the trigger. Hold it in, let it out, click, squeeze, click, squeeze, click, squeeze. He was having a real hard time to remember to keep his finger on the trigger. He's one of those guys that was coming all the way off to the front of the trigger guard and then taking a running start and slapping the shoe, right?
Yep.
So he did this for about, 70 rounds, and then was shooting the exact same size group I was.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Tweaked his grip a little bit as well, too. He thought the gun was too big for his hands, then I showed him how to hold the gun. And, this is somebody I give a black badge to.
Yeah.
But in black badge, we don't, depending on the size of the class, we don't always have time to get into.
No, you don't have that one-on-one.
No. Nope. So, but now, as we said before, when we do have somebody struggling with black badge, we've got a few more tools that we can use to help them.
That's it. Cool.
So, what about you, Matthew? Did you shoot some rimfire?
I did shoot some rimfire. Took the .22 to the gravel pit and just had some fun out there with it for a bit. And I forgot when we were talking earlier, Owen and Dave and I actually went to the range in Woodstock with our ARs and Glocks.
Random Dave?
Random Dave, yep.
Awesome.
He's back from BC, Alberta.
Is he back, or is he just... rotation.
No, he's just back. He's on his way out to Newfoundland next, Labrador actually.
Cool.
So he's out for another. He's 21 on, 7 off. So we'll see him every 3 weeks or so. We'll get out to the range and do some AR stuff, I think. But we just did some drills. We did some reloading drills, some transition drills. We've all got slings, so we would shoot to bolt lock and then drop the rifle on its sling, draw the sidearm, and shoot. You know, just transition stuff and, you know, reloads and malfunction and just kind of having some fun doing some rifle fundamentals, which, looking back, I'm thinking, why are we doing that right before Daniel Shaw gets here? We should just be, forget about the rifle until he gets here. Just learn the way, learn the right way and forget about the rest. But, anyway, it was fun, and that's basically all we did, just ARs and Glocks and then the 22 in the gravel pit. And to be honest, I think the 22 in the gravel pit was more fun. But you know how I am with my 22s.
Well, you know what I learned? I'm definitely a reactive target kind of guy. Shooting paper.
Boring. Boring us.
Exactly. When I had the
Mark 18 everybody.
When I had the Mark 18 out with the 22 conversion kit, I also shot my STI that day. And, yeah, when I went back out with the three ARs, I brought my gong with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can only get so much done on paper before you start to have a nosebleed.
That's it. Well, that was the thing, eh? Out in the gravel pit, I mean, I've talked about this before, don't shoot rocks, it's dangerous, blah, blah, blah. I shoot rocks at, you know, well over 100 yards away, so there's no chance of me getting hurt, and I'm the only one within tens of kilometers, so there, I've covered my butt again. Anyway, out in the gravel pit, you know, I measured it, I paced it off. Actually, I lied. I didn't pace it off. I used my truck and drove and watched the tenth on the odometer reading. It was about...
Oh, my God. You're so redneck.
Yeah, I do those sort of things. Anyway, it was between 200 and 300 yards. And I'm guessing probably around the 230, 240 mark. And so at that distance, I was picking out probably head-sized rocks and being able to hit them within one or two shots with the 22. And this was open sights, not with the scope.
You mean honeydew melon size?
Honeydew melon size, yes. Watermelon size, if you will. Not head size. And that's head cheese. Maybe I'm talking about head cheese, Trevor. Jeez.
Just wondering. Like,
stop yelling at me.
What an unusual thing to say.
You're unusual.
And were these head-sized rocks approximately 6 feet off the ground?
Approximately? Maybe. No. They were just wherever they were on the wall. But it was fun. I really like shooting in gravel pits because you can see exactly where you hit. When you miss, you know, you get a puff of dust wherever the bullet hits. And so you can see and adjust accordingly.
That's exactly. My Mark 18, when I threw the loophole scope on it, was zeroed for my STI, right?
Yeah.
So I shot a couple at the gong at 100. No idea. Started shooting at the berm at 200 meters at a clay pigeon. And I could see the impact. So I was like, oh, I'm like a foot to the left.
Yeah.
Crank, 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 right? Got my windage down.
Yep.
And then next thing you know, you're hitting the gong, right? Three shots later on the gong, I was there.
Yeah.
Well, what I did, I would hold the gong in one of the four quadrants of the scope.
Right.
Just right off of the corner of the crosshairs.
Yep.
And when I hit it, wherever I was holding, then I adjusted to bring it to the middle.
Yep. Makes sense. Cool. Well, I just tried calling Owen. He is going to be on soon. I was hoping to get him on before we moved on to the next section, but we're not going to do it. So he's going to have to tell us what he did with guns later. So into some upcoming events, there are only a couple.
Never mind the flyer.
Yeah. Well,
Henny is here.
Ta-da!
Henny. Yes, that's what I said, Henny. It's pronounced Henny. Yeah, so Brendan's here because...
We said it wrong so many times. What is it, Brendan?
It is Heaney.
It is Heaney, okay.
Yeah, it's Heaney. It's because the first E makes the second E long. No, other way around.
He also says lever or lever. What was
that's right. So bearing that rule in mind, Breen Dan, right? Because the A makes the first E long. Yeah, yeah, no? Oh, I tried.
No. About that, yeah.
No.
Yeah, no.
So anyway, yes, welcome again. Multi-guns coming up September 13th. $20 walk-ons are permitted. Sponsored by Press Check Ventures. Get your 50 Beowulf mags. Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic is coming up October 11th with Daniel Shaw. One spot's left, maybe. First person to get his $200 in gets that spot. So get your $200 in, get that spot. Come on out, learn how to run your AR like a boss. Yeah. All right. So, main topic.
When you say goofy things, it's funny to just let you hang.
I know.
Because when nothing is said, they sound even goofier. Yeah, but if I would have went, yeah, that's cool, like a boss, Maybe Trevor, you could have pulled it off, but you know, so I didn't support you there.
I do notice that, yes. Okay, and I'm going to leave that awkward pause in there, too, because it was funnier that way.
Yes, Trevor, Brendan?
There's a virtual high five right there.
Sweet. I got it. Thanks, dude.
All right. Well, we have a couple of different things here. We got a news story, which is sort of our main topic. But as I understand it, we have a question and answer period with Brendan. So, Brendan, if you wanted to kind of kick us off on this, we'll get going on it.
I
know. You know nothing about this, which is great.
Super. It's genius. I love being caught off guard.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a fish named after me.
Oh, yes. Brendan, you need to tell that story. And you need to tell us a bunch of stories, actually. First of all, how did you get into guns?
Okay.
Go. I'll ask the next question after.
Question and answer. We did our part. Step up. Where's
yeah, come on.
All right, okay. Like any young Canadian kid, guns have always just been something that I imagined and played with water guns and all that stuff.
Not any and all Canadian young kids, right, Matthew?
Yeah, right. I wasn't allowed to play with even water guns. Anyway, carry on. I was just being jealous, being envious of your childhood. But whatever, carry on.
And I just needed to rub it in that Matthew's childhood sucked.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Shh, quiet. Brendan's talking.
My first gun was a pellet gun, a single shot. And I got that at the age of, I think, 12 by a neighbor. He said, "You don't have a pellet gun? Here you do now." So I used that for many years. Learned the iron sights and then upgraded to a little scope, and I was hooked. And from there, I think my first gun, which is actually part of my Q&A, would be a 12-gauge semi-auto at the age of, I think it was 22 when I bought my first gun.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so that's how you got into guns. How did next question, I guess. How did you hear about the show?
This show? I heard about through Canadian Reload Radio.
Oh, how did you hear about, so you're a long-time listener then?
Long-time listener.
All right, so how did you hear about CRR?
Heard about CRR from a friend's dad. He got me onto podcasts, and he's like, "You got to check these guys out," and they totally just talk about random stuff and what'd you do with guns and
what's his name?
His name is John Morrison.
John, shout out to you, buddy. I hope you're still listening. Send us an email if you are, because that's cool.
So he got me hooked, and that was way back when Mike from Vancouver.
Yeah, Mike Dixon. Yeah.
Yeah, when Mike Dixon was still on.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I've been listening for a very long time.
I guess so. I'm sorry.
What?
That's cool. All right, so enough about you. What about us?
Exactly.
So smooth.
I do what I can. True.
Well, actually, part of my I was thrown off guard when I was listening to the show. I heard it on, I think, Tuesday when I finally downloaded and listened to it on my way to work. And then it was all of a sudden, the topic is whatever I want it to be. And I'm like, what? I got to come up with a topic? So I've been going, trying to figure out what I want to do. And then I kind of like the Facebook rapid fire that the gun dudes do. Right. So I've been coming up with all kinds of questions.
Well, thank you, because we have been trying and racking our brains, trying to figure out how to steal that from them. So
ta-da!
You've gone ahead and done it for us. So thank you very much.
All right, so you want some questions?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, what was your first gun?
It was a Remington Viper, I'm very sorry. Trevor, what was your first gun?
There are
guns. Way to screw it up. Good job, buddy.
There are guns.
This isn't a hard question. You understand this, right?
There are guns
what
I got
was
from my,
your first
shut
gun?
Shut up. There are guns I got from my dad, and then there's the very first firearm I purchased as a licensed firearm owner, like my very first ever go to the store and buy a brand new gun.
Right.
So which one do you want to?
Let's go with both.
Okay.
Non-air rifle. First real gun.
Okay. Well, the first real gun, when I got home from university, my dad let me take.
This is a long story. Tell us what your first gun was.
The Winchester 30-30 and 222s, and then the first brand new gun I ever bought when I got my acquisition license was my Thompson Center Venture Predator.
cool.
Okay. So apart from the fact that it's actually four guns, not one.
Well, the first three came all at once.
Which one did he hand you first then?
Probably I would have to say the 3030 would have been the first one I reached for.
Good.
I'm really glad that you took 3 minutes to answer a one-word question.
Carry on.
My first gun was a Remington 1100 trap gun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I needed it for all purposes, duck, trap, deer, yep. Everything. I bought it when I used to live in Ontario, so it fit everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
That'll work.
All right. Best gun. It can be a past gun, present gun, or we won't go future gun.
Well, my favorite future gun was the plasma rifle in the 40-watt range.
40 what?
Favorite gun, you mean? Favorite gun that we own right now?
He said best, but... That's
best.
So does that mean favorite or does that mean best?
That means best. It right, doesn't mean favorite.
Okay.
Best gun. Best, most accurate, most bestest reloading capabilities because it's green, whatever. Your best gun.
All right. What's your best gun, Trevor? And I'm asking you first because I'm still thinking about it.
Okay, I'll go. Mine is my lever. Lever. Action. My 44. It's my favorite gun. It's if I'm in the bush, it's with
me. Now see, you just use the word favorite gun.
So is it favorite or is it best?
It is my favorite gun, so it covers for my best gun.
Oh, all right.
Well, I'm going to answer best or favorite.
It's got the second most amount of kills. It's taken out more gross than I can think of.
I can think of a lot of gross. Anyway.
That's there you go.
All right, so Trevor, then what's your favorite gun?
Best.
Yeah, what's your best favorite gun? Just say your favorite gun. We'll tell him it's your best gun. He's not listening right now, is he? Oh, he is. Dang it.
Because you're really killing this. Because I do have one. I did have a category that was what was your favorite gun ever. So what's your best gun?
My best gun is my NEA-15.
Okay.
That's a good answer. My best gun is my Mossberg 500. Just because it does everything. Birds, slugs, buckshot, whatever. That'd be my best gun. It's not my favorite, but it's my best. If I had to just have one that had to cover everything, I think that'd have to be it.
There you go.
All right. If you say, what's your favorite gun now, I'm going to reach through this mic and I'm just kidding.
I hope he does, because then I've got a different answer.
All right.
Top three guns that you have.
Right, that we own right now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy. Glock, AR, and Marlin 795.
Glock 17, NEA 15, and my TAC 21 build.
Ooh, yeah, your TAC 21 build is cool. That's 308 bolt action in a Remington 700 platform, right?
Yep.
I knew that. I was just saying that for the benefit of the listeners.
Good call.
Yeah. Cool. All right, what's your top three?
Again, with my 44 lever.
Right.
Then I have to go with my Remington 700 chambered in 6mm.
Okay.
And I think I have to go with my Ruger 10/22.
I like how you didn't plan out your answers.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get a chance to, so cool.
Which is kind of what makes it good, because without thinking, it's spit out what, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep coming back to, well, if I only had one gun, if I only had three guns, which one would it be?
Yeah.
That's all I'm basing my answers.
Yeah, that's kind of how it has to go.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What is your favorite caliber?
Yes.
A gauge is not a caliber.
Yeah, I still win. Mine's 22, rimfire. That's it. The flat out is my favorite caliber. It's not the best caliber of anything, but it's my favorite. I love 22.
I'm going to go with 308 because it's so versatile. If I had an AR-10, it would be devastating up close and effective out far.
Yeah, but is that your favorite or is that the best?
Now, before you even go on with your answer, I said caliber. So it doesn't necessarily mean one thing specific.
Oh, so technically if I say 22, it covers everything from 22 short all the way up to 22 250?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. I'm still sticking with 22.
Well, then I get everything under 30 cal.
There you go. You got 7.62, all of them, 308, 30-30, 30-06.
There you go, 30 cal. Yep.
Thanks.
All right, what's your favorite caliber?
I'm a bit of a stickler. I'm going to have to stick with the 44.
44, yeah. Cool. All right.
It's tough to beat.
It is tough to beat, especially if you're downrange.
That's right. All right. The next gun you want to purchase, under $200.
I don't buy Kel-Tex in the wrinkles anymore.
If I had to buy another gun under $200, I would probably, and you know, that's not to say I wouldn't. I like sub $200 guns because they're economical and don't worry about hurting them. I would probably get it'd be a toss up between the little Chiappa, the little single shot Badger, Honey Badger, whatever it's called.
Chiappa or Chiappa?
Yeah, it's Chiappa. It's pronounced with a K. So it'd either be one of those or it'd be one of those little Boito 410 Hiker shotguns. You ever seen them? It's got like a little 12-inch barrel on it. It looks like a little mini shotgun, little single shot. So it'd be one of those. Either a single shot 410 or a single shot 22. Lame, but that's all I could think of. Trevor?
Nothing. I'm not even going to answer this question.
Fail.
I'm not going to. No, I will not buy a $200 gun. It's not going to do it.
All right, fine.
If
all you had was $200 and the world was ending and you're in Canadian Tire where they had all those cool guns, what would you
get? That would be an SKS because it's semi-automatic and I could put leftover.
Dude, you know, that's the perfect answer. Why didn't I think of SKS? That's a great gun to get for under $200.
Because you're not as cool as Trevor.
I'm not nearly as cool as Trevor.
Oh, can I say?
No, I don't know what you can say, but stop. Brendan, what would you get under $200?
I would have to go with a single-shot NEF 12-gauge.
Oh, that's a good answer. You know what's nice about those? You can...
Nothing.
Someone's a little
Trevor,
jealous.
You nailed it. But do you know what's one of the things that's interesting about that? How about that?
Sure.
It's not necessarily cool. But if you get the right receiver, you can change the shotgun barrel out for a rifle barrel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Later on. I used to have one. I had an NEF. It was a 12-gauge. It came with a 30-06 barrel, and then I special ordered a 223 barrel for it as well. So I had three calibers in one gun.
Cool.
Can we also do, like, what is the next gun we want that's not $200?
Yes, the next one is the next gun for under $400.
Keep
Trevor's
going.
Still out. He's like, no, keep going. Next. Well, for me, under $400, I honestly don't know. I would probably... Oh, jumps. I had no idea. I'd probably get a... Some sort of 22. I don't know.
I'd get a Tokarev and 7.62 by 25 with a ton of ammo.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah, I like that. Ooh. I'm with Trevor.
Oh. Keep copying my answer, Brendan.
I know! You going to copy his hair color now, too? And
yeah, I might.
Yeah, he's going to call me bald. Which, actually, he's doing quite well at.
I'm working on it. I'm doing, yeah. You've inspired me to lose all my hair, or it's the stress, one or the other.
Either way.
My anal retentiveness and OCD is just, I'm going to have a friggin' stroke here. Should have been like, which pistol do you want next? Which rifle do you want next? You can't just say gun. I'm way too OCD for that. I have lists and lists and...
Who doesn't have lists?
Timelines.
I got all the guns I want.
Anyway, carry on. This is fun.
It was going to be my next gun under 400.
Yes.
Not just to bug you, Trevor, but I actually have to go with an Orenco 1911 45.
I almost said that, then I remember the Tokarev.
Yes. So. Good. Yeah.
And the only reason I chose Tokarev over that one is ammo. Surplus 7.62 by 25 is about as cheap as 9mm.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's a good round, too. I really like that round.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the SIG, the 357
yep.
SIG.
That is a hot, stinking little round.
Mm-hmm.
It is. All right, what's the next question?
Weatherby versus Remington. If you had to go with one menu.
Remington.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys don't shoot any Weatherby?
Nope.
Nope.
Wow. That was pretty fast.
Yeah. I'm guessing you'd go Weatherby, but anyway.
But it's I'm trying to make it like a debate, though, right? Like, Remington does have handguns, Weatherby doesn't.
Yeah, that's why they're out. It's Remington.
You want to know why they're out for me?
Why?
Find somebody who will work on them and find the part for them and look at the price tag. Next.
Done. I have a Weatherby. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing gun. Parts are no problem for it. And it's ridiculously accurate, smooth, out of the box. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
and it's a Vanguard, too. So it's not even a big Mark V. Never mind, those things are just the cat's ass. Whoa. So, I think I might have to lean with Weatherby just to despite you both.
Good. I like the cut of your jib, sir.
We've said it before. Yep. You're allowed to be wrong.
That's right.
We don't discriminate.
Except when I'm not, like now. Right.
Which is not here, but anyway.
All right, next.
Ruger versus Browning.
Ruger.
In general?
Yeah, if you had to pick one.
Ruger.
Do you guys not use a shadow at all?
A shadow?
What shadow?
Yeah, the Browning rifles.
No.
Browning shotguns. No. I think if Owen was here, he'd probably go Browning.
I like the Browning, like shotguns, like the trap guns and stuff.
Yeah, nice,
but
well, there you go.
I can't base my decision on the fact that Browning makes a nice trap gun and they have a nice A bolt. Ruger's got everything but shotguns. They've got revolvers. They got pistols. They got amazing rifles of all different calibers. Forget it, hands down.
Whoa, 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 whoa! You just said Ruger has amazing rifles.
They do.
Yeah.
They make the Ruger 5.5, the AR-15 clone. That thing's good.
Okay.
The Mini 14. What's wrong with the Mini 14?
There's semi-auto stuff. I will accept.
All right. And a Mini 30. Mini 30 and 7.62x39.
What about the Ruger number ones? Those things are amazing. Those are rifles. They're not semi-auto.
Scout rifle.
Their scout rifle is really good.
Scout rifle's not really good.
Yeah, it is.
It's like any other one. They're way too heavy.
You're way too heavy.
Hey, that's a different topic.
Now you saved the fat jokes for this host. Keep flying. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I can do this all day.
All right, all right. What other one I had? I have another one I can't remember now.
You didn't write this stuff down?
I wrote most of it.
You really do belong on this show.
Mossberg versus Remington.
Again, in general terms?
Yeah.
Remington.
I'm still with Remington. Mossberg doesn't make handguns.
And their rifles suck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although the one rifle they do make that's pretty cool, if it was cool and I haven't tried it yet, is the one that takes the AR mags. The MVP
that's,
or whatever.
I heard about that one, and it's dibbed military status, so it's not coming in out of the States.
Oh, it's not coming out of the States?
Yeah.
It's 5.56, right?
That's right. A friend of mine wanted to get one, so I looked into it.
That 5.56 rule doesn't make sense because Daniel Defense has come up from the States and they're in 5.56. So I don't understand this 5.56 export thing because we get guns coming up that are.
I know. And this is when I found out when I worked at a gun shop. And
interesting. Well, the thing is, the longer barreled. Because they have two versions of that bolt-action rifle that takes the AR mags. I forget what it's called. But the longer varmint version of it is in Canada. I've seen them before. But I want the short-barreled one, because they have one that's like 18 and a half inches.
And Remington's
barrel.
Got a pump that takes an AR mag, so we got a Remington alternative.
Oh, that's true. We do. That's right. The 7606 or something like that. I forget what it's called.
So there you go.
Remington. Back about?
Oh, yeah. A long time ago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a rifle based on the 870 platform, so it's a pump action rifle. But you can get them in
mag
2-3.
Fed off an AR mag.
Yeah, and they feed on the AR mag. Yeah.
So the downside there is generally there's no magazine capacity restrictions on a mag on a bolt action.
Except that there is because it's based on the AR mag.
It takes an AR mag, yeah. So the restriction is on that particular mag.
Yep.
So you got to get a Beowulf mag.
Yeah.
Next.
Marlin versus Savage.
Savage.
Marlin.
No.
Look, no. You know what? Savage is good too. I really do like Savage. They make the great the Mark II is a fantastic 22.
Marlin has the 7.95, which is you can't beat the value for the price. You're getting way more gun than what you're paying for in the 7.95.
Except you can beat it with a 10.22, but that's again.
Well, no, you can't.
No, you can't.
But you can beat it because you can spend more money on your 10.22, but you're not going to get more accuracy by putting more money into your 10.22. I mean,
you can get more accuracy out of your 10.22 with a lot more money into it, but not out of the box. Not
apples to apples. 7.95 is going to be more accurate. Now, okay, Marlin has a reputation for good lever actions in the past, but now they've gone to crap. So
ever since Remington bought them, they've gone out the window.
That's right. So Marlin is now not what it used to be. What's Marlin got on the product on the market today that's worth buying other than the 7.95? Like what really? What?
Stainless steel 357 mag lever.
And does it hold up to the same
product?
Is it what?
And
it came out about they've always had it, but now the stainless steel is about 2 years old.
But you're going to want an older one, right?
Obviously.
Yeah,
but,
so Savage is still today pumping out amazing stuff in all calibers.
Yeah. So the rumor I heard about Marlin is after Remington bought them and they kept having their problems with the feed problems with mainly the 4570, they went back and they reviewed their quality control line, fired everybody, fixed the problem.
Interesting. So they might be back to producing proper fitted stuff. The other thing I heard about them was when they were acquired, and this is pure rumor mill, but that the Marlin employees who were let go sabotaged everything.
Yep. That's what I heard. When they were being taken over by Remington, the Marlin employees sacked the place.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. I heard that. Whether or not it's true, I heard it. So.
Well, I read it on the internet, so it must be true.
Oh, see, you didn't cite your source before, so now that you've mentioned that it's the internet.
Internet!
Right.
I read it on Google.
You looked it up on Google.
No, I read it on Google, so it's true.
That's right.
Perfect.
Okay, next.
All right.
Oh,
long range.
What was yours?
Me?
You were also Marlin?
Marlin.
Two Marlins, one Savage. I still win. You're both allowed to be wrong. Go ahead, next.
Long range deer gun. 270 versus 308.
What? 270.
You know what, though?
Matt, give up your man card.
No, here's why. The 270 has higher velocity, flatter trajectory, and just about the same terminal knockdown power. Why would you go with something that arcs more through the air than something that goes faster and hits just as hard?
How many guys are building 1,000-yard 270 rifles? They're building on 308s.
Oh, you said long range, didn't you?
Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah, 308. I was just thinking, for here, a long range deer hunting trip around here is about 75 yards.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, no, we don't get long range shooting here in New Brunswick. Everything is up close and tight.
Gotcha.
But yes, no, if you're talking, 500 yards plus, then 308.
Yeah.
So I take it we're all in agreement on this one?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, the next.
All right. Mid-range.
Now there's a lot of people out there screaming right now. But anyway.
I know. Isn't it fantastic?
Look. 270 is a neck down 30-06. I mean, it's a fast bullet.
It is.
Exactly.
And but that doesn't necessarily mean it's accurate.
Yeah. So, well, it's not.
308 is inherently not accurate, so it's tough to beat. All right, mid-range elk gun, 4570 versus 30-06.
30-06.
Mid-range being inside a 500?
Say inside of 300.
Inside of 300. Oh, so short range then. Yeah, I would still go 30-06.
Really?
Yeah, I think
so. You get the knockdown of the 4570?
Yeah, I understand that, but you're going to get better external ballistics with 30-06. You're going to have less wind to deal with. Well, I mean, you'll have the same wind to deal with, but you'll have less holdover and hold beside. Windage, there you go. That's the word I'm looking for, windage. You got less windage adjustments to do with the 30-06 because it's just a much faster and sleeker round.
True. I still got to go 4570.
All right. Well, again, though, inside of 300 yards, how much wind drift are you going to have, right?
Yeah, you load up
I still think that the 30-06 is going to have more energy, pounds feet of energy at the target inside of 300 yards than the 4570 will.
And
I think. I don't know that for sure. I'm just thinking. I think it does.
I know they both.
They're almost exactly the same.
Oh, are they?
If you load the lever revolution,
yep.
The 30-06 is like 100 pounds more.
Okay.
Now,
so they're close enough. I mean, they're close enough to, yeah.
Here's my take on it. The 30-06 has been around a long time. I know the 4570 has too, but I believe that the 30-06 is a more popular cartridge. Therefore, there are more options for 30 caliber bullets that you can use, powders that you can use, and I think you're going to be able to tailor a round, a 30-06 round to a 30-06 rifle and really optimize it a lot more efficiently than you would a 4570.
Now, are you just thinking strictly 4570, like as in a Marlin or like a short barrel gun?
No, just I'm thinking about the popularity just the fact of the two cartridges.
30-06 would be more popular, easier to find components for and stuff.
True. True enough.
But if you're talking a dedicated rifle specifically for that and you have, you know, unlimited quantities of whatever you want for powder and projectiles, then, I could see how 4570 could be a good cartridge. Just, I'm just not familiar with it, so I'd go with the one I'm more familiar with.
Ditto.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. I'd have to lean towards 4570 just because it's fun.
Oh, yeah, 4570 would be fun, especially a nice lever action.
Too much recoil. Big, long buffalo gun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun, too.
Come on out here and I'll let you try mine.
All right, I'm on my way. I'll be there in an hour.
close range deer gun.
22, no problem. Oh, wait, what?
44 mag versus 7.62 by 39.
44. Ooh.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. See, here's the thing with the 7.62. I know at close range, we're talking less than 100 yards, right? At close range, a 7.62 by 39 has all the power it needs to take down a deer. And sure I know does. That it has way less recoil than the 44 mag's going to have.
Oh, yeah. You just swayed me. I'm changing my mind.
Although that being said, 44 mags is awesome to shoot. I've shot them before in the lever action, and they are fun.
I could see myself taking a deer with a beautiful lever action rifle chambered in 44 mags, but I wouldn't personally try it at anything farther than 75 yards with iron sights.
Right. Yep. That's the thing.
Where if I had a 7.62 by 39 rifle. Chances are it would be scoped, and I'd feel a lot more comfortable taking a 100 to 150-yard shot with it. When I think lever action, I think really close. Definitely 100 and in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a 30-30 at 100 and a 44 at 100.
Pretty close the same.
Pretty close, yep. The 44 is getting a lot of stank off that extra barrel that they wouldn't get out of a handgun revolver.
That's right. You can load them up with different powders and get a lot more velocity out of them. Now, that's Trevor was just saying about the scope on a – I mean, you can put a scope on a lever action. And you can get all the accuracy you want out of them, but
it's kind of sacrilegious.
Yeah, it's kind of sacrilegious. Traditionally, lever actions are like cowboy guns. No, they didn't use scopes. Use the irons, boy. All right. But, down to – what do you got? How many more questions do you got?
One more.
Oh, perfect. Because I was just about to cut you off. All right, one more.
Long range for anything you want. 338 Lapua versus 50 BMG.
50 BMG, hands down.
338, hands down.
No, 50.
50 BMG was an old machine gun bullet that they built a long range rifle around. The 338 is a long range bullet that they started to use in long range rifles. The 338 was bred to shoot people with turbans out to two clicks. That's what it was made for. It wasn't something that was turned into something else. I know that who makes the big 50?
Barrett.
Yeah, I know Barrett made his living making rifles around that bullet, but the 338
3:30. I'm going to give it to Trevor. 3:38 is going to be more accurate, but the 50 is going to be way more fun.
Well, the 50 is anti-material. Yeah, it's not just anti-personnel.
Yeah.
If you're talking about trying to shoot somebody in the head at 1.4 kilometers, give me a 3:38. If you want me to shoot a Jeep at a kilometer away, give me a 50.
Right.
Because all of these are threatening you right now.
That big rock down there over the hill certainly is. That's, I'm going to shoot with the 50.
I'm going to have to lean towards the 338 as well. My main reasons are cost. You know, you can hand load a 50 for $6, and you can hand load a 338 for $3.
Yeah, I think you get three cartridges out of a pound of powder with the 50, don't you? it's
not far off.
Your brass is going to last longer in a 338 than in a 50.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're going to need a bigger, heavier-duty press to do it.
But here's the thing. You two boys show up at the range with your 338s, or 38, whatever they are, 338, and I show up with my 50. Where's the crowd?
Around the guy who shoots accurately.
No, you're wrong.
So you're in it for the fame. You're in it for the fame.
Yep. No,
you take your groupies, I'll take accuracy. I'd rather be left alone so I get the job done anyway.
I'm going to have to go.
I'm just saying the 50 cal has that oomph, you know? It's got that the je ne sais quoi. I don't know what.
Yeah, it's got the let a woman shoot that argument.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor that every time you buy a 50, you get a second man card.
Oh, is that what it is? I need in.
Well then, if you want your second man card, contact the Calgary Shooting Center right now because they got McMillan 50s in there for just over 10 grand.
Nice. Well, we do have to cut it off here. I want a really quick story about how we have goldfish named after us, and then we got to do breaking news and listener feedback.
Goldfish story.
Quickly, though, like 30 seconds or less.
All right, I bought goldfish. My wife and I have a – we love guns, and we have some other Siamese fighting fish that are named Buckshot, Kimber, and Remy.
Nice.
And she's like, well, we've got three goldfish, so we need to name them something that we know of three. What about the show? So we have them named Trevor, Matt, and Owen. And as you would think, Matt is the smallest. Owen is kind of just there. Trevor's the biggest and the meanest. Last week, we actually bought three more because we just upgraded our fish tank to a 50-gallon. And so the next three fish, we've named one, and it is, of course, Jules.
I went down and told Jewel before the show started that she had a fish named after her, and she didn't believe me for a couple minutes, and then she thought it was quite awesome.
We haven't come up with names for the other ones yet.
We'll have to figure that out. All right, Trevor, breaking news.
Breaking news. All right, so Minister Blaney is starting to implement some of the changes that he promised us when he made that announcement last month at an Ontario gun range. And I'm just throwing in all this extra stuff so I get my put down my rifle and get to my computer here.
I understand.
Filler,
I see your cursor moving.
Yeah. Okay, so breaking news. As of right now, the RCMP can no longer reclassify firearms due to a new regulation brought into force by Stephen Blaney earlier today. Any and all firearm classification decisions cannot be changed after 1 year has passed since their classification. In other words, all firearms classified prior to August 15th, 2013 are untouchable as far as the RCMP and the firearms program are concerned. Again, this regulation is now in effect and notably does not represent a hurdle to the reclassification of the Swiss Arms and CZ-858 rifles back to their former status as their classification was changed less than 1 year ago.
Cool. Well, that's good. Now, we were talking about how this might not be a good thing.
Yeah, we thought, well, okay, they can't change anything. In other words, if something is restricted today, they can't make it prohibited tomorrow. But is the opposite also true? If something is restricted today, does that mean they cannot make it non-restricted tomorrow?
I don't think so, because I know that the AR-15 was classified from non-restricted to restricted by an order in council, and the RCMP had nothing to do with that.
It says it doesn't necessarily say the RCMP can't do it. It just says it can't be done.
Oh.
So any and all firearm classifications.
Cannot be
changed. In other words, all firearms classified prior to are untouchable. Well, untouchable, it says untouchable as far as the RCMP and the firearm program are concerned.
Right.
So this means that, you know, things that are prohibited are going to stay prohibited and things that are restricted are going to stay restricted. That's going to dash our hopes and dreams of someday hunting with non-restricted length AR-15s.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. This, I guess it's sort of good, but in the same vein, it could be really bad. So I would really like to see some clarification on that and find out if this is, you know, a one-way thing or if it's the back and forth like Trevor brought up. So
well, I would so quickly purchase an upper, an 18.5-inch NEA upper, and throw a nice hunting scope on it, something 3-9.
Yeah.
And I would just keep that around. And when I want to go hunting, I'll just throw it on any one of my AR lowers and be
off
good
you
to go.
Go.
Yeah. Wouldn't even need to buy another AR. I just buy a non-restricted length upper, and I am good to go.
Yep.
Which, if you think about it, you only need one lower anyway and a whole bunch of uppers, but...
Yeah.
I didn't say that. You need all the guns you can get.
Yeah, so send us an email if you have any updates on how that... this is going to be implemented or what your thoughts are on that, and we'll discuss that next week. And that's my little... Sorry.
No, sorry. You weren't done. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's my segue into the listener feedback section, but clearly we're not done this first part because you wanted
to
say something else.
Yeah, I forgot to give kudos to Chris Babes. I ripped this straight off of his Facebook. I direct copy and paste from his Facebook feed to our show notes. So thank you, Chris.
That's awesome. All right. Brendan, you have your list, your show notes up there?
I do have them.
Can you read the first email under listener feedback?
Are we not doing the other news thing?
No, we don't have time. We're out of time. We'll do that next week.
Oh, that's fine.
It's a good topic for next week, too.
But Matthew, 9 versus 45 has never been talked about before.
I know.
This is a game changer.
I know. It's never been done before.
40! But anyways, go on.
All right, Brendan, no, the first email, please.
From Must?
A Must. That's okay, you got it wrong.
It's a
keep
Canadian
going.
Joke, you should find it. A.
A. Yeah. Hello,
from
all.
Aaron. Anyway.
Another great podcast this week, guys. I just wanted to check to see if Trevor is okay. At the end of the bonus clip, either Owen or Matt said, "Wouldn't assault rifle?" And the clip ended abruptly. I fear Trevor's head may have exploded with all the use of the term.
I vomited. I vomited for sure, but I'm okay now. But since I just heard it again, I need to go vomit.
Yeah, there you go. Off you go.
If all is well, keep up the good work. Cheers. A Must. P.S. If it's not the SFR flyer, but this is how I subtly spread the idea of gun rights around the world.
And he had a picture of his workspace, and it had a bunch of pro gun stuff. So
well, it had the NFA No Compromise, and he also had my favorite one. If you don't support our, if you don't stand behind our troops, feel free to stand in front of them.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this next one comes from Thomas Donnelly, and he writes, Trevor. And Thomas, how are you? This is in response to the last segment of the show I put in last week about Trevor reading his Facebook story to us. So he goes, Trevor, if Christina was laying a beating on you and the police showed up to take her guns, is this not that part?
No, it was about the email we got about us agreeing with the.
Anyway. So if Christina was laying a beating on you and the police showed up to take her guns, they would take your guns too. Any firearm stored at her place of residence would be confiscated because she still has access to them. Remember, too, that restricted firearms are registered to the resident address, not the individual on your ATT. You can borrow and transport your spouse's restricted firearms to and from the range if you have their certificate with you. This also means that police will and can confiscate all restricted and non-restricted from the resident address, so stop shaking your head and ask Pat if you don't believe me. Well, wrong show, Thomas. He has to ask Matthew because Pat's on the other show. But good try. Okay. Longtime friends of mine, he continues on, let's call them Dick and Jane, had this happen to them a few years ago. Between them, they owned a mix of over 45 restricted and non-restricted firearms. Jane is a lovely, sweet person, and Dick is an alcoholic. One night, Dick was drunk as usual and said to his son that he could shoot him in the eye if he wanted to. His son had had enough of these years of drunken abuse, and so he called the police, and of course the police showed up, charged Dick, and confiscated everything. The next day, Jane and Dick smartly called the CFC and transferred all the guns into Jane's name, so Dick no longer legally owned any guns. A month later, Dick goes to court without the lawyer and represents himself. Now, Dick may be a lot of things, but he's not stupid. The first thing the Crown wanted...
I thought you were going to say, but he's not a lawyer.
The first thing the Crown wanted to do was to have all prohibited firearms destroyed ASAP. Dick interrupts the prosecutor and advises him that he does not have a prohibited status and owns no prohibited firearms. The Crown then stated that all handguns are prohibited in Canada and was insisting that the judge issue a destruction order. So, Dick spends the next 30 minutes explaining our current firearms law to both the judge and the prosecutor, and still, the Crown was insisting that all of the guns should be destroyed before due process was carried out. Then Dick explained that he no longer owned any of the firearms because half of the confiscated guns belonged to his wife and that they had all been transferred into her name. They were not his guns anymore, and the state did not have the right to destroy someone else's property. Apparently, the Crown almost had a stroke upon hearing this. Then the judge agreed with Dick and said the prosecution could not ask for someone else's property to be destroyed. So, in the end, Dick got a 2-year prohibition from owning and residing with firearms instead of the Crown's requested 10-year ban. The Crown was then ordered to give up all of the guns to Jane. The only problem was that she could not bring them home since Dick was prohibited from being around firearms for 2 years. That's where I come into the mess. Dick and Jane asked me if I could take possession of their guns for the next 2 years while the prohibition order was in effect. They were both fellow shooters at my old club and have let me hunt on their property for several years, so I agreed to help them. Jane called the CFC and started the process of transferring all the firearms to my name. Her guns were being stored at the OPP detachment in Coburg, and we needed to set up an appointment with the firearms officer there in order to pick up her guns. Jane called the OPP firearms officer a dozen times, left numerous messages for him, but he never returned her calls. Eventually, her ATTs expired after a month of not being able to contact this officer. Now, Jane, being a smart lady, recorded her conversation with this officer. He stated in the recording that he did not believe that any woman should be allowed to own guns, and he had no intention of giving them to her.
Wow.
I know,
eh? Oh, boy.
Another police officer disobeying a court order. Sound familiar, doesn't it? Yes, it does. So, Jane called the Ontario CFO, spoke with a female firearms officer. She explained the situation, played the recording, and the CFO officer got very angry, reissued the ATTs, and told Jane to give her 10 minutes to resolve the issue. 20 minutes later, Jane got a very apologetic phone call from the OPP firearms officer in question and was told she could pick them up next week. Jane said no way she was going to wait another week and demanded them the next day. We picked them up the next day. Now, when we arrived...
Yeah, what was the point of the week, right? If you have them, give them to me.
That's right. Why make me wait? Exactly. So when they arrived at the police station, all the guns were spread out across the table in a large conference room. Many of the Parisian guns were now scratched and damaged, which is very irritating. A young newbie police officer stood there kind of dumbfounded because he had this list of guns and he had to check them off and he knew nothing about guns. So Thomas showed him his CFC firearms verifier ID and told him not to worry. He would help him identify each gun. So let's start at the top of your list and pick our way through them. So that's what they did.
I want a verifier ID.
Yeah. That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we need to look into this.
Yeah. Thomas finishes off with, I really enjoyed watching him jump almost out of his skin as I slammed the slide forward and hammer down on the first gun. When I put the magazine back into the gun, he advised me I couldn't transport the gun with the mag in it. Yes, I can, I advised him. As long as there's no rounds, it's perfectly legal. Then I pulled a copy of C-68, placed it on the table, and told him he was more than welcome to read it. 2 years later, Dick got his license back. A year later that, Jane divorced Dick, kept most of the guns for herself. So the moral of the story is, get your guns out of the house if you're going to call the police about your partner, because they'll take your guns, too. So, that was a nice long story from Thomas. It was interesting. A lot of interesting points there. And yes, the police are... going to take every gun in the household if they can, and they will. So, thank you, Thomas.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
there is on both the NFA's Facebook page and the CSSA's Facebook page a link to a YouTube video, which is in fact an audio recording of a gentleman in Toronto who was searched and inspected by the Ontario CFO's office because he had more than 10 guns was the reason. Well, first he had more than 10 guns, and then they said, we noticed that you'd make an awful lot of transactions, and so we flagged you for that. I'm sorry. Why are you flagging me for illegal behavior?
Exactly.
I can make as many transactions as I want. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Trev, you drive your car an awful lot. We better investigate your garage.
You better search it. Yeah, that's literally the excuse they gave. You have a lot of transactions, so we're here to inspect your firearms collection. Anyway, he's got it. It's long. It's an hour long. But you know what? Go listen to it, because someday it could be you.
Yeah.
It was creepy because they were making a point of dropping all these little subtle comments to let him know how much they knew about him and how much investigating they did. They even told him that they had been following him on CGN. Now, people on CGN have been saying it for years that the RCMP and the CFOs read CGN, and other people say, no, you're being paranoid.
All right, so, Trevor, this last one from Mark.
All right. Oh, this should have been, and I apologize, Mark, we don't check our Facebook closely enough.
Yeah.
This one was for you, Brendan. This was advice that was supposed to be given to you weeks ago. And it says, since I didn't win the guest spot with the banner contest, here are a few tips that I compiled for the winner. Number one, show up. Sounds easy, especially since 50% of the time it works every time. Number two, you must do something with guns that week, even if it's only going for a walk in the woods, because apparently that counts. Right, Matt?
Yes, it does.
Now,
yes,
on that note, I have to say that going shooting this week was the first time in, I want to say, 7 weeks that I've gone shooting. So I made sure I went out shooting this week.
Excellent.
Check.
And then I'll start with this. You must have a firearm with you and make firearm-related noises, such as racking, dry firing, and even field stripping. Nothing tells the listener that you're engaged, like playing with your gun.
I failed that.
To make all of your... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I failed. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't have
sorry.
Any... I've got again, a dog that's fault. Roaming... I've got a dog that's really, really gun-shy, so as soon as I pull out a gun, he starts whining and that, so he's... Yeah.
You know, they say about a gun-shy dog, don't you?
They ain't no good. You can't make him do what you want him to.
Ah, he's cute.
You think you can when you think you should, but a gun-shy dog just ain't
this
no
ain't
good.
No good. Make sure you pronounce, or make sure all of your words are pronounced correctly, such as mariner.
No, mariner.
Mariner, sorry.
It's mariner, yeah.
If you're having trouble
Lever.
With this.
Lever.
If you're having trouble with this, just think how a word would sound inside Matthew's head. And don't swear. At least not until about the 45-minute mark to give Matt practice editing. Editing points. Yeah. During Trevor's epic What I Did With Guns rant, he needs to be cut off at least 4 times in the hopes that he will forget where he was and cut his rant down from 45 minutes to 30 minutes.
Damn it, I didn't do that once.
No, it didn't work this week.
Sorry, Mark.
And feel free to throw in a 20-sided die comment. Just make sure you roll a 25 or higher. You're welcome. I'm Ron Burgundy. That was awesome, Mark. We should have read it last week or the week before.
Certainly should have.
But we suck. So
that would have been very helpful to the guest hosts.
Yeah.
Just saying, maybe, possibly.
That was. I don't know if he wants his last name said, but Mark P. Right.
Yeah, Mark P., father of justice.
Justice, right. I think we've said his last name before. But anyway, whatever. We should have Mark on sometime anyway, because he's funny. I met him. So he's a cool guy.
I know our listeners by their guns. Mark's got a K-100 grand power.
Yes, he does.
We didn't actually talk to Brendan about the whole flyer thing.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
How
you put up a bunch
flyers?
Of flyers you put up there, Brendan?
How many did you put up?
I lost count.
Cool. That's a good answer because it's time for our iTunes review.
This is more important. There are none.
You're right.
Did you get run into any people giving you strange looks or asking you questions, or did anything funny happen?
I had people ask me some questions, and so I'd say it's a pro-gun podcast and tell them a bit about it. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sounds really cool. I'm like, check them out. It's worth it. Yeah, okay. a couple places where which I did for you there, Trevor. A couple of vegan restaurants in Nelson.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm like, can I put up a flyer? And they're like, oh sure, what is it? And I'm like, just a flyer. And they're like, yeah, okay.
Be sure to listen. Or exactly. The whole thing, shoot a seal in the face. You're gonna love it.
It's informative. So, yeah.
How to cook seal without meats?
Tasty.
All right.
Now, awesome. Before we go anywhere else, there's one story that my wife always wants me to tell you guys.
Okay.
The story about how I gave away my Glock.
What?
Yeah.
This interview is over. End the call. Matthew, end the call.
Yep.
End the call.
And
tell it quick.
Yeah, so they're not accurate. They're not as good as a 1911. So, and I got sick and tired of mine, and I practiced and tried everything.
Remember how I was saying how I like this
barrels.
Guy? Remember I was saying I liked him and he was pretty cool?
I got this one.
Yeah, you got it.
And you know what? Every 1911 I've ever picked up has been more accurate than any Glock I've ever picked up. So I gave it away. Granted, I did give it to my real estate agent who helped sell my house, but I gave it away.
I did promise a real estate agent a gun once if he sold my house. That gun was a 1911. So, but basically,
sacrilegious.
Now, see, here's your problem: you suck and don't know how to shoot. Okay, Matthew, iTunes review.
Yeah, no, we don't have one. We're gonna do a shout out. So, Harold A, you sent some tech support for the audio settings, and if you're listening to this now, I have implemented it. So, listeners, if you notice any sort of audio quality differences, please let us know.
You still sound annoying.
It's still live, you numpty. I have to edit it still. Don't you know how this works?
Give away a Glock. Don't speak to him.
Yeah, you're out. Do you have any shout-outs, Trevor?
I do not.
Yeah, none to Brendan, that's for sure. Brendan, do you have any shout-outs? Too bad.
To my real estate agent. I want my Glock back.
Now he can keep it.
Awesome. All right. Well, Brendan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was our pleasure up until that very end. It was our pleasure.
On a really sour note.
Yeah, what are we going to do about it? All that's edited out. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, cut that whole thing.
Yeah, gone. All right. So please be sure to check out both of our firearms, National Firearms Associations, the CSSA and the NFA. They both do good things for you. You need to support them, and you need to do that with money. So go sign up right now. Also, check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. We have a forum there. And we talk about our show sometime if people make comments, and they hardly ever do, and we feel sad and we cry ourselves to sleep at night. I'm lying. We don't do that. Because most of our stuff is on Facebook. So please, go like us on Facebook. 1,023 likes and counting. All kinds of fun stuff on there. We got pictures and little videos, and we talk about the show. And
if you send us a private message that's timely, don't expect us to get to it.
Yeah, don't. Just send us an email. It's the only way we get stuff is email. So, yeah, send us an email. If you've heard anything you like or don't like, or hate mail goes to this place too, slamfireradio@gmail.com. Please be sure to check out all the other great shows on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network. Did I say Viola again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is actually Viola.
Yeah. Violin Outdoor Web?
Viola.
Viola. Oh. Viola. Viola. It's the same thing. We mispronounce words so much we can't even remember what the right way is.
We don't even know which way the right way. I'm pretty sure.
Whatever Owen says, we say the opposite and we'll be right.
Sure. All right. So, and the Crusader Podcast Network. So, those are really cool. Viola. It's Viola. I'm pretty sure it's Viola. Yeah.
When two vowels go walking hand in hand, the first one does the talking.
All right. Viola. Then. And thank you for listening.
I'm Brendan Hennessy.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
I think they're wired differently.
You're wired.
You know what, Trav?
Yeah,
we were having a private conversation. You can just be quiet.
Oh, I like him. You can have my spot on the show.
All right.